Good morning, Swagat. When we limit ourselves to an idea or a point of view of what we are, in other words, limiting ourselves to be a personal identity, we have a frame of reference or context that's very narrowly defined. And for many of us, we spend our entire life living within that frame of reference or context that's narrowly defined. The personal context of being a somebody. A somebody who has thoughts, a somebody who has emotional states, and a someone who has bodily sensations, and a somebody who is defined by all of those things I just described. So we see the sum total of what we are as that personal identity that is thinking, feeling, in other words, having emotional states and bodily sensations. And every movement that we make in our life is focused on those things. So our thoughts, how to organize our thoughts into a set of thoughts that will support us and make us feel comfortable. Our emotional states, how to take those emotional states and make them comfortable, give us a sense of well-being. And our bodily sensations, well, what can we say about our bodily sensations? Some of them we want to stay longer, others we want to go away forever. And some of them we don't know what to do with. And we hear all kinds of things from many different people about what to do with this personal identity. There's lots of advice given for the personal identity. So much advice, endless advice on how to make sense of all the thoughts, how to make sense of all the emotions, how to organize all the sensations so that they give us well-being and a sense of comfort and satisfaction, but don't get us in trouble. So, you know, all of our life, when we spend our life that way, we're focused entirely on the idea of a self. A self that exists and a self that has the borderlands of birth and death. So those are the borderlands of a personal identity, birth and death. And in between those bookends or borderlands is something called a life. And all the life is an accumulation of all these thoughts one has had, all of the emotional states one has had, and also all the sensory experiences one has had. And that's what's called a life that is bookended by birth and death. So when most of us never hear anything other than that, no matter how long we live, we never hear that there's any possibility other than that. So never once in most lives is it ever introduced that there is anything other than that. And this entire life of a personal identity is lived within a realm of cause and effect. So, and time and space are part of that cause and effect. So the personal identity, the sensorial personal identity, is entirely limited by its perceptions of time and space, cause and effect. And this is simply what we take ourselves to be. These are belief systems and assumptions about who we are that are conventional. So throughout the world, for most people, this is the conventional assumption, that this is what a human being is. And even if there is some kind of an idea introduced of what a human being is that goes beyond that, there's no way to know how to be that. So we might get an introduction to the possibility of something beyond this personal identity. But very rarely are we ever in a circumstance where there is present the key points and pivotal instructions that can unerringly direct us to living as the full evidence of something that is beyond a personal identity. So we're gathered here today in that kind of circumstance, the kind of circumstance that if we're willing, any human being can move beyond the idea of a limited personal identity bound by space and time, life, birth, and death, and cause and effect, and realize the true reality of what a human being is. Now, all of those things that I mentioned about a human being, all those things that are the countless, ceaseless, and unpredictable experience of being a human being, all of these would not be present if it were not for awareness of them. So this is so simple, so simple. Anything that a human being, any of us, take ourselves to be, it would not be naturally present without awareness that it is. So you see, this awareness, it's the secret key. This awareness is primary in every single experience of being human. And rather than a human being or personal identity being some kind of thing or entity, some solid shape, substance that is confined and identifiable and stands between awareness and all the sensorial experiences of being human, the human being, the assumption of being a personal identity, is equal to all those sensorial experiences. It's just another sensorial experience, just like any other. There never has been, there isn't now, and there never will be a personal identity, an ego, a self, or a something that needs to be reshaped, rectified, transformed, analyzed, refined, purified, or made into what it already is. All human beings, no matter who they are, everywhere on the face of the earth, can say, I am aware. There is not one among the 7 billion of us who can say, I am not aware. Even if we're unconscious, we're still aware. We're still aware. Even if we're unconscious, we're still aware. So this is the root of what a human being is, awareness. It is awareness that goes beyond cause and effect. Not that awareness transcends cause and effect, because everything we are is awareness. There is nothing that would be about us without awareness. And this awareness, rather than being imprisoned within the line of the skin, is vast as infinite space. Vast as infinite space, pure space. And all of the appearances within this awareness that is the only reality of every human being, all of the appearances within it are empty appearances. Empty appearances that have no shape. They have no shape. The shape is only assumed by the assumptions of time and space. So, you know, we can never figure any of this out from the world of cause and effect. We can't go into our ordinary thinking and try to examine it, make sense of it, and prove that everything is an empty appearance that has no shape. All we can do is rest naturally, be totally at ease as the awareness that is primary in every appearance, every perception, every point of view. And as we do so, we naturally realize that we're beyond anything we ever dreamt imaginable. So no matter what perception arises, no matter what it is, it can be a thought, an emotion, a sensation, a person, a place, a thing, a circumstance. No matter what the perception is that arises, be at ease. Be totally at ease as the awareness that is the essence of that perception. Be at ease as the essence of that perception and repeat that for short moments many times and it will become automatic. And if you don't know how to do that or you don't want to do it, you don't have to. You don't have to. Just keep coming back here and it will be obvious to you that that's who you are without you doing anything. You see, what we already are doesn't need anything to make it happen. It doesn't need to be tickled or coaxed or prodded or clubbed over the head or anything else. We already are who we are. And the more easeful we become in our being, the more we realize the natural ease of our being. that ease of our natural being that is already present. So all of the appearances of awareness, rather than being an object to the subject awareness, are inseparable from awareness. So when we have a perception and we rest as the awareness that is the essence of that perception, there's no separation. There is an awareness and the perception, and then them coming together. Awareness and its appearances do not come together or separate. This is a very key point. They do not come together and separate. Awareness and its appearances, awareness and its points of view, awareness and its perceptions do not come together and separate. This is just a belief system. So when we rest naturally as awareness, as the awareness that is the essence of every perception, know that there only is awareness as that perception, and that there is no awakening, enlightenment, liberation, or being the most that a human being can be that is separate or apart from any perception. So any perception that we're trying to separate out of this inseparability and saying, oh no, that perception can't be awareness, it's not good enough, it's not spiritual enough, it's not holy enough, it's not sacred enough. No, that perception of some kind of vagary of life, one of the mundane, grosser aspects of life that we've identified, that can't possibly be awareness. That can't be pure space. That can't be God. When we rest as the ease of every perception, we find that the ease of that awareness in every perception is its divinity, if we want to call it that. We don't have to, but there are many people here who have a spiritual orientation towards things, so that's the context within it, which it's held. We could call it divine or God or the Great Mother or anything we want to, but a name that we can call it that all human beings can understand is awareness. If we say awareness, we all know what that means, and we all know that that is evident in us. Whereas if we say God, we might think, oh, that's over there somewhere or outside us. It's very difficult for most of us to ever know that God is in us, even though we may hear over and over again that we are the image and likeness of God, that everything is the image and likeness of God. So, you know, some of these terms, even though they're fine and all, we can certainly use them if we want to rather than using the word awareness, what it comes down to is awareness. So that we would have no awareness of God without awareness. We would have no awareness of the Divine Mother without awareness, or the Great Spirit, or whatever we want to call it, Tara. We would have no awareness whatsoever of Buddha or anything else without awareness. So awareness is primary in every perception. And interestingly enough, when we rest as the awareness that is the only shapeless shape of every perception, then it doesn't mean we erase the perception and then we ignore it or repress it. It means we understand it in its totality. So we understand its description. All this awareness, vast as infinite space, know this is the reality of what you are. And know that all points of view that occur within the pure view of that awareness, they're inseparable from it, like the color blue is inseparable from the sky. Know that all of the points of view of your awareness are the luster of the basic space of your awareness and nothing else. They've never been separated in any way. The dynamic energy of your awareness, all the points of view of the magnificent display, the magical expression of awareness, know that to be yourself and nothing else. Don't ever be content with any other idea of yourself. It's much too limited. It's much too limited. Of course, you can be if you want to. This is what a human being is. You see, all a human being is, and know this to be true about yourself, is awareness. That's it. awareness, self-knowing awareness. In the human being is the only being that has self-knowing awareness. Self-knowing awareness is the means by which awareness enjoys itself. So, and self-knowing awareness, it's just so compassionate, so nothing other than loving kindness, so nothing other than bliss, so nothing other than complete wisdom that are already present. It is so nothing other than that, that when it appears in a human being, the human being can use that in any way they want to. The human being can use that self-knowing awareness in any way they want to. They can use it to pretend to be someone all their life who has thoughts and feelings and alternating happiness and suffering and incredible limitations based on cause and effect and living within a knot of time and space. It's entirely up to each one of us. So, you know, self-knowing awareness is timelessly free. Timelessly free to participate in cause and effect. Timelessly free to participate in a personal identity. Timelessly free to have a life of suffering rather than a life of well-being and complete peace. So, you know, this is important for us to know. Know that you're not at the whim of anything. You're not at the whim of awareness. It's not hiding out from you. It never has been. It's not some kind of thing that has power to control every aspect of your life and that you need to shape yourself to. You already are that. And when you know that you are that, the ease of that becomes more and more evident all the time. So awareness isn't something. It's not something that we get a hold of and then we've got it. Awareness is forever, timelessly, without dimension, limitation, description. Entirely timelessly, without limitation, any kind of dimension or description. So any description we came up with, like, I've got it now, I've got awareness. It's permanent, it's fully evident, I know it, and this is it. Whenever we think this is it, the next moment it's going to be, wow. Well, I guess that isn't it. But, you know, we only do that a few times before we say, awareness is amazing. This awareness that I am is amazing. It can never be described, so I'm going to stop describing it, and I'm going to stop having this point of view. This is it. I don't even need to have this point of view. This is it to hold on to desperately. There's nothing to hold on to. Awareness isn't something to hold on to. It just simply is. The immense power and force of everything that is. And know that to be yourself. Know that to be yourself. There's never been a you other than that. Of course, if you want to pretend that you are something other than that, it's entirely up to you. No one can make you not do that. But if you are willing, just willing to know yourself as you really are, willing to place yourself in a circumstance where you can know more about who you are, then you will. It's that simple. It's really that simple. It is so simple. How could what we already are mandate all kinds of really ferocious activities that require a great deal of perseverance, time, resources to be itself? You see, this doesn't make sense. But within cause and effect, it makes perfect sense. If we're only looking at things within cause and effect, then when we are going to look for something as incredible as enlightenment, liberation or awakening to add to our accomplishments, then we might think, well, all these other things I've done in life, they require so much work. They required so much work within cause and effect to get them. For enlightenment, I must really have to work. For that, I might have to even work for lifetimes. So you see, these are just assumptions. These are assumptions about the reality of our own being. But why not just know yourself as awareness? Know yourself as as awareness in a very direct way through the direct experience of it, which doesn't feel like anything. So it doesn't feel like anything. It's just the ease that is present right here. The ease that you feel right here, where you're not obsessed about the past or compulsively thinking about the future. It's just the ease of what's right here with nothing going on. This is your natural state. So know that to be yourself and know that to be not dependent on circumstances. So it's entirely not dependent on circumstances. No one owns awareness. This is another key point. No one owns awareness. There's no one who can tell you about your awareness. It isn't owned by anyone. So the direct experience of your own awareness is the only way, the only means, the skillful means by which you come to a definitive conclusion about yourself. There's no one who has ownership of awareness. When I was 7 years old, I was being raised as a Catholic, and I loved the Catholic Church. I loved the incense, I loved the candles, I loved the Latin Mass. When I was very young, the Mass was in Latin, and I lived in a European-type community, so there was great flourish in our practice of Catholicism. And I just enjoyed the ceremony. I really didn't know what any of it meant. It just felt good. I could feel the presence of love there. I really liked that. And then I started going to Catholic school, and I started hearing all these things about what that presence was. And pretty soon I drew the conclusion, the people telling me about what this presence is, they only know what they know. That's all they can tell me. They can only tell me what they know. They can't know anything else. And then I noticed too that presence, some people claimed ownership of it. I started hearing that some people had ownership of it. Well, the Catholic Church owns this presence. Or this other church owns this presence. And this is the true church and the true owner of this presence. And I thought, that's not my experience. This presence isn't owned by anybody. It doesn't have any copyright laws that apply to it or any intellectual property laws. It isn't owned by anyone. So I was never convinced about that. And, even though I love so many things about the Catholic Church, too, I took what I needed and I left the rest behind, So what I didn't agree with, well, that was okay. I just enjoyed what I did agree with. But, in this is something very important. Another person can only tell us what they know about this that is most obvious. That's all they can tell us. That's all they can share, their own direct experience of that. And the other thing is that what we are isn't owned by anyone. It isn't owned by anyone. We don't need to get it from anyone, and no one can take it away from us. And also, no one needs to confirm it for us. We know whether we're at ease as the essence of our being. We know whether that awareness is totally at ease in each perception. This freedom in immediate perception is the great adventure of every human life. It's the totally great adventure of every human life. If we want people to support us in the full evidence of that becoming more and more spectacularly alive and real, that's fine. I'm not suggesting anything such as no teacher is needed. In any human endeavor, we look to people who know more about something to share that with us. And if we see someone we feel can support us in any endeavor, being a plumber, baking bread, cooking, whatever it is, then we'll want to rely on that person. So I'm not saying do away with all the teachers. I don't make extreme pronouncements of that kind. We all are who we are. We all have different dispositions. We can all all come into the awareness of who we are in any circumstance, no matter what it is. So I'm not suggesting that anyone needs to change anything about their life. Whoever you are, wherever you are awareness. So it's as simple as that. Know that when you just enjoy the ease of being of that awareness, you'll know more and more about everything. So all the descriptions in the dictionary, know that you will know more about them. You won't just know their label. You won't just take them to be their label. You'll know them as the essence of awareness. And in knowing them as the inseparability of these two, a wonderful appearance that is awareness only, they will no longer be two. They will no longer be two. There will no longer be the subject and the object. The subject, and you don't need to do anything about this perceived subject of a personal somebody. You don't have to give it a shove over the cliff into the Ganga. You don't have to beat it down through severe practices of the body to prove that it doesn't exist. You can do all of this if you want to, but, you know, just rest as awareness while you're doing it. But, you know, the austerities, they're not necessary. If there's something you must do and you want to do, you go right ahead and do them. But know that austerities, you see, something that is uncaused awareness, something that is not a thing, that is entirely uncaused and unconditioned and unborn, it can never be caused. Because it is uncaused, it cannot be caused. Because it is unborn, it can't be born. So if we're someone who's looking for enlightenment that's a destination down the road, we're looking for something to be born or caused, depending on what's happening right now. Why bother? We already are who we are. And what we're meant to be. So, you know, like I said earlier, awareness isn't hiding out from us. This isn't a game of hide and seek where there's somebody trying to find awareness and awareness is behind the mountain or behind the boulder or something other than sexual desire or whatever it is. Do you see what I mean? Awareness is everything, everything. And there's no way for the full evidence of this to be real in us if we exclude anything. So if we have all of our points of view that are only the pure view of awareness and inseparable from it, which is all that anyone is, and we try to separate out any of those points of view and say they're not awareness. They're not awareness. They're not the holy positive basic space of awareness. If we try to separate anything out and tame it, refine it away, transform it, psychoanalyze it or analyze it intellectually or philosophically in some other way, if we try to do any of those things, all we're doing is adding more points of view to the point of view that's already present. We're persisting in cause and effect. We're saying, this is a point of view that needs to be affected in some way. It's the cause of non-recognition of awareness, this point of view that, say, is negative, anger, greed, pride, gluttony, lust, envy, sloth, any of these things. We're saying, okay, this is something that needs to be tamed. It's not really awareness, but I have to make it into awareness. I have to somehow get it out of the way before I can be awareness. And then we spend our whole lifetime focusing on greed, anger, pride, lust, envy, gluttony, and sloth, and trying to get rid of those because we've decided they're not awareness. They're not awareness. They don't have anything to do with awareness. Well, you know, as long as we persist in that, the full evidence of awareness can never come alive in us. Because awareness, and know this is your own awareness, is a single blissful expanse of equalness and evenness. It's completely undivided. There's never been a division or split. No matter what the word is from the dictionary, it can't create a division or split in awareness. nor does it exist elsewhere other than awareness. There is no awakening or a liberation separate or apart from any point of view. Separate or apart from any point of view in the dictionary, any word in the dictionary. So if we decide any of these negative and afflictive states are separate from awareness, we'll spend our whole life trying to control those. And in doing so, we won't be able to recognize awareness. In our recognition of awareness, at some point, all these things come up. All those things I just mentioned, greed, anger, pride, lust, envy, gluttony, and sloth. If we enter a spiritual community, when we walk through the door, they don't go away. You know, they go inside the door of the spiritual community with us. We might think, oh, these things are unbearable. I'm going to join a spiritual community. And once I get inside the safe confines of that, then greed, anger, pride, lust, envy, gluttony, and sloth will disappear miraculously. But when we walk through that door, we find wherever we are, there we are. You know, wherever we are, there we are. Because we are all-encompassing, aware basic space, the infinite vast expanse of awareness that it includes and contains all points of view, including greed, anger, pride, lust, envy, gluttony, and sloth. So all these afflictive states, so to speak, negative states that we've labeled negative, that we've judged to be negative, they're always with us no matter who we are, and they're unpredictable. They're countless and they're ceaseless. They're just part of the dynamic energy of awareness, just like the brilliance of a diamond is the dynamic energy of the diamond. They're not something other than awareness. They're the luster of awareness. And at some point in our spiritual practice, we'll come face to face with all of these. You know, we won't be able to do anything about them anymore. We won't be able to ignore them if we're lucky. You know, if we're lucky, they'll come up full force. There they'll be. Wow. We'll be thinking, gee, I thought I'd put that one to bed, you know. I put that one to bed. I pulled the covers over its head. I said, nice little greed or nice little jealousy or whatever, nice little lust. I put it to sleep and I was sure it was asleep forever, and now here it is. And not only here it is, I can't do anything about it. You know, I want to behave in a way that's not good, and not only that, I can't control myself. I'm suddenly behaving that way. Well, you know, when this occurs, and this occurs in the life of every single person who ever realizes completely perfect enlightenment. It occurs in the life of every single person who has ever reached completely perfect enlightenment, who is realizing completely perfect enlightenment right now, or will realize completely perfect enlightenment in the future. These negative states need to be faced, face to face, not turning around and ignoring them, not trying to beat them into submission, not trying to erase them from the blackboard of life, but face to face is the reality of ourselves. These are the lions at the gate of enlightenment, afflictive emotional states. And when these come up too, because we're already totally free in all our perceptions, we've looked at all the positive points of view and all the neutral points of view, and it's sometimes easy for us to know that those are vast, infinite space of our own awareness. But when it comes to these other things that are socially unacceptable, then it might be very difficult for us to really see that those two are the face of God. They're the face of awareness and nothing else. That's all that they are. So what to do? What can we do? Well, it's important. Now is the time when it's really important to have a teacher. So maybe we've integrated all these positive and neutral points of view as awareness, and we've thought, well, often on, have I really needed a teacher to do this? You know, I know I am awareness. I can see that all these positive and neutral parts of myself, of the vast expanse of awareness, are awareness. But now when we face these negative things, now we know why we have a teacher. We know why we have a teacher. And we better have a teacher who's integrated their own negative points of view as awareness. Because if we don't, we're not going to get much support there. So even if we have a teacher who hasn't integrated those negative states, the afflictive states, as awareness, we can find one. There is one available. And that person will become available to us in some way. They will become available to us in some way, in a very direct way. It'll be the case that the teaching we need will be available to us. In the Great Freedom Teaching, we place great emphasis on the integration of negative or afflictive states as awareness, because there is no completely perfect enlightenment without that. So this is very, very important. You see, when we come up to the lions at the gate of enlightenment, all these afflictive or negative states, then we have a choice. We have a choice to continue to rest as awareness, to know ourselves as we are as these things arise, to not act on any of the impulses or urges that might come up associated with them, to continue to rest naturally, to seek the support, the refuge, the ease of our teacher and teaching and community, and to go to people within the community who have integrated their own negative points of view. Because it's only these people who can help us. You see, someone who has never integrated their negative points of view as awareness, they're not going to be able to help us. They're going to look at us and they're going to have some other solution. Well, you know, you better read a book about positive affirmations, or you better do some yoga or something like that, because they just won't know how to support us. But the only reason they don't is because they haven't integrated their own negative points of view as awareness. If we've done that, then we can really be of support to someone else. So this is very important, because these lions at the gate, if we don't rest as awareness and we start thrashing around and getting all upset about what's going on, not knowing what to do, feeling like, oh, we're not a spiritual practitioner any longer, or we've never really been a spiritual practitioner because all along all these points of view have been present, but somehow we didn't know it. We thought we'd already put them to sleep forever. Well, you know, if we start having a lot of doubts and not knowing what to do and jumping up and down and being upset, then, well, the lions, they're just pouncing on us, you know. They're pouncing on us. They're starting to enjoy our flesh. But if we just stand there and we go, wow, this too is the magical display of awareness. These things that I never thought could be awareness, they are awareness. These two are awareness. Then we have more and more ease. We feel more and more this great immediate naturalness of our being. And it is such a joy. It is such a joy to realize that everything about ourselves is complete in and of itself. That we've never been this bad character, like we've never been an outlaw from awareness. We've never been an outlaw from awareness. We're not the criminal of awareness because we have negative we have negative points of view. They're all awareness, and this is what awareness wants us to know about ourselves. Awareness wants us to know we're vast as infinite space. We're vast as infinite space. We are awareness, vast as infinite space, inseparable from all points of view. All the points of view, positive, negative, or neutral, are only the dynamic energy of awareness. They're the dynamic energy of awareness and nothing else. They've never been outside awareness. And when we realize this, then we really feel the reality of what we are. It's just so clear. And not only do we realize this about ourselves, when we realize this about ourselves, then we realize it about everyone. We realize that about everyone. Everyone's okay. You know, everyone's okay just as they are. So this is what it means when we hear these pronouncements about everyone is yourself. Well, this is what it really means. It means we've gotten down to business with ourselves. We've seen ourselves as we are, totally perfect and complete just as we are. And in seeing that, the doors are flung wide open. Then we see that everyone is us. You know, that there's no one who has ever been not awake. There aren't a bunch of people running around who aren't awake, and then we're the awake ones. We're not looking at things in that way. Everybody's awake. Everybody's totally free. You see, either everybody's totally free or we're not free. That's the way it is. So this is some of these perceptions, they just fall away. We don't have to beat them out of existence or torture them in any way. They just naturally go their way. They go their way. They're awareness too. They're just they're misconceptions about what's been going on. You know, maybe we've heard something and it was an erroneous perception that someone shared with us. That's all, an erroneous teaching. But everything is awareness. Everything is awareness. We can never realize that through philosophical or intellectual understandings. Philosophical and intellectual understandings, they may support us a little bit, but it's our own direct experience of living a human life and realizing that everything about that life is timelessly free. Everything about that life is timelessly free, including its birth and death. Those are timelessly free too. Because you see, timeless freedom, birth and death are just points of view. A life is just a point of view. Know that timeless freedom. Know that omniscient, vast expanse of awareness as yourself.
Negative points of view which arise in your body.
I want you to talk about you, Glenn.
Well, I do.
Not about me. Really, you have no interest whatsoever in me. You know what I want to hear from you? I want to hear from you what your challenges are in resting naturally or your direct experience of living as awareness. That's what I want to hear. Because descriptions about me avail you nothing.
Well, they give me a pointer. They point to where I could end up as. So that could be helpful.
No. If it could be helpful, then it would have been. So now let's hear about you. What are your challenges in resting naturally as awareness? Or let's hear your own direct experience of living as awareness.
Well, just that when it occurs, it seems to be that nothing's happening. Things just are, and there's no labeling. I'm not even aware of myself. It's kind of like a unified field. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm only aware of it afterwards. It just seems to happen, but it just happens for a few moments at a time. And it's quite subtle.
And do you have a question about that? Are there any key points or pivotal instructions that I can offer you in that regard?
I'm confused about, and that's the gaps between thoughts, which are points of view.
Uh-huh.
On the one hand, I've been told that the gaps are also points of view. Mm-hmm. You yourself said that, I think, the other mm-hmm. day. And on the other hand, in one of the lessons, it talks about that you find that the gaps between points of view would increase, mm-hmm. as if gaps were not a point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still a bit confused on this point.
Uh-huh. Well, the space of awareness feels more and more evident. That's what occurs. But you see, awareness always is. Awareness always is. It's just that when we've been involved in taking everything to be points of view, then we may not have been aware that awareness always is. So rely on your own direct experience of that awareness, which is complete ease. It's just complete ease, the complete ease of being without needing to call it anything. Rest is that for short moments, many times, until it becomes obvious. And it will just naturally become more and more obvious.
And the fact that I might later label it a gap, that doesn't mean it's a point of view when I'm experiencing it, does it? It can still be pure awareness even though it is a gap.
Whatever you call it, it is pure awareness. So let's be very clear about that. No matter what label you give it, it is pure awareness. But resting naturally as awareness isn't something. It just simply already is. And its manifestation in your human form is comfort and ease. Comfort and ease in every situation with nothing going on. So you don't need to describe at all what's going on. It's utter lucidity without description. So just utter lucidity of everything as it is. This is what awareness is. Know that awareness is yourself, and rest is that. What you describe as the gap, I'd suggest that instead you describe it as space, just as space. It's just like we have assumptions about everything as having a shape. But that's only an assumption. You see, this is only an assumption based upon time and space, ideas we have about time and space. All these are just points of view. When we rest naturally, we become less and less certain that everything has a definitive shape. There's more and more it's just pure space and nothing else.
Yeah, that sounds like a better word.
Than gap. Gap, it's like, oh, where am I going? You know, it feels like I'm going somewhere I don't want to go. Like a void or an abyss or something like that.
It also implies between two points.
Yes, it does.
Space doesn't.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, as I said a little bit earlier, comfort and ease, that is the manifestation of awareness. That's the manifestation of awareness. Complete comfort and ease, no matter what the display may be. You see, there's nothing that is separate from awareness. There's nothing that's separate from awareness. But what might be taken to be separate from awareness, for example, a negative point of view, that becomes integrated as point of view. But usually it comes about that the positive and neutral points of view are easier to realize to be awareness first, and then gradually the negative points of view are faced as awareness as well. Just be gentle with yourself, you know, totally gentle with yourself. Just allow the natural ease of your own being to become more and more obvious, and it will. It's just like if you had a lover. Say you had a lover and you were constantly shaking your lover and saying, love me, love me, love me. I want you to love me. Demonstrate your love to me. Well, you know, awareness doesn't need that. It doesn't need to be throttled into existence. Its evidence is ease. Ease and comfort. So may you have great comfort and ease every moment of your life. The reality of that's already the case for everyone, you know. So we don't need to force ourselves into it. Can we force pure space? Can we force pure space to do anything, like force it to go over there, or force it to go up there or down there? Or can we make a division in pure space? No, we can't. It's all still pure space. So a useful way to just visualize this, know that you are the vast expanse of infinite space, and all these descriptions, no matter what they may be, are they're all made up of letters of the alphabet. Just imagine that all those letters of the alphabet, they're made out of pure space too. A through Z or whatever your alphabet is. They're all made out of pure space too. They've never been anything other than pure space. And no matter what this alphabet of pure space is made into, it's still pure space. It can be made into a 700-page book on spiritual awakening. It's all still pure space. It can be made into a 700-page book on the most evil thing that ever occurred. That's all pure space. So you see, know that everything is pure space. It's the pure space of awareness and nothing else. And I'm sure all of you know I'm not suggesting immorality or passive irresponsibility or the license to do anything you want. Quite the contrary, when we know ourselves as we are, then we have the full force of compassion that is inherent to us at our disposal. The full force, the immense power of compassion and wisdom, of loving kindness and bliss that's inherent to us. And then, you know, we can affect life as never before. As never before. Our speech resounds with a song that's like a lion's roar. You know, everything we say, everybody comes to a complete stop, you know, because they know they're hearing themselves for the first time. So you see, everything about our body, speech, and mind, they come alive in a powerful way, a newly powerful way, just because we've turned around and faced ourselves as we really are. You see, this isn't a process or a practice that's split off from anything that we are. There's nothing about ourselves that we need to shape into a better thing. Even if we've spent a lifetime trying to shape ourselves into a better thing, and then by some fluke we realize who we are, we have completely perfect enlightenment, right before we have that, we're going to have to face that everything we've ever done in our practice, everything we've tried to shape into a better something, greed, anger, pride, lust, envy, gluttony, and sloth, all those things we've tried to shape into a better something, we're going to have to see that they're all pure space and nothing else, the pure space of awareness and nothing else, that all of our practice, it was pure space too. All of our practice was pure space. Because you see, the reality of what we are is, human beings, it's not circumstance dependent, and it's not dependent on anything we do with our body or our mind or our speech. It's not dependent at all on anything that we do. It already is. So the less doing we do, the more obvious it is. And this is where ease is so important. It's so essential that we just be naturally at ease, the essence of our being, our inseparable being. We all want to be good people. I've never met anyone who wants to be a bad person. Maybe they do secretly, they just never told me about it. But you know what? Whether they're the worst person on earth or the best person on earth, their awareness is exactly the same. It's all one awareness, it's indivisible. It doesn't know good guy and bad guy, or good girl and bad girl. It doesn't know any of that stuff. It's just awareness.
I have a question about, I understand that we all have like this equal awareness, but then still I see that there's difference between knowing this, self-knowing less, and not knowing this. And this seems very dual to me. Like, I mean, some people do know that this is their true nature, and some people never thought about it or whatever.
This is the joy of self-knowing awareness. Each person can do whatever they want with their self-knowing awareness. If they want to take themselves to be somebody, they can be. But it doesn't mean they are that somebody. Do you see what I mean? In total non-recognition of awareness is blatant recognition of awareness. They're not two. They're not two. Just because we use words that are opposites to describe something doesn't mean that they are opposite or dual. There's only inseparable awareness. So even if there's full out non-recognition of awareness and all kinds of heinous activities going on that provide only harm and absolutely no benefit whatsoever, recognition of awareness is naturally present. This is what non-duality means. This is what non-duality means. There are not two. Not only are there not two, there never have been two. And there never will be two. No matter how much you try to make two, you can't make two. You can't make two out of pure space.
To me, self-knowing awareness seems to be something different from awareness only.
It isn't.
Yeah.
The more you find this ease of awareness to be yourself, the more it will make sense to you in a totally senseless way. Just be at ease as the naturalness of your own being, and more all these questions will be answered, because you see, you are awareness. You already are awareness, so know yourself as that, and you include and contain all points of view, no matter what they are, including all questions and all answers, all teachers and all teachings. They're all rooted in your own awareness. The only reason I am is because you are. The only reason the Great Freedom Teaching is because you are. You see, there only is one indivisible awareness. And even though you might start out thinking you're you and I'm me, and then there's the Great Freedom Teaching, this other thing, and then there's the Great Freedom Community, that's another thing too. More and more they'll just be indivisible, and you'll realize it's all the play of your own awareness. But we can't think ourselves into that. It can only be directly experienced as our own awareness. Self-knowing awareness. It's just like turning on the light here in the room at night. When the light is turned on, it illuminates not only the room, but itself. So this is an illustration of self-knowing awareness. Very good.
I'm sure you have a way of enlightening how I sort through that dynamic of the concept.
You're in the right place, let me just say that. You see, when you're really on fire for the truth of this awareness as yourself, then you're going to find yourself in a circumstance where the instruction is available that can bring the full evidence of that to life in you. It's as simple as that. It's always been that way, and it always will be. And even, say, if you live in Siberia and you can't get out, you're in the gulag and somebody put you there and you're not leaving forever for your entire life. If you reach that point, you will know. You will know. There'll be a polar bear or something that'll appear and give you the last instruction you need. Because you see, everything is awareness. So let me just say, you're in the right place. You're in the right place. There are many books on awakening today, and even more information available than that on the internet. You know, 20 years ago, even just 20 years ago, even 15 years ago, we didn't have this glut of information. Well, this glut of information, in some ways, it's beneficial, but mostly it isn't. We have a lot of information available to us, but a lot of the information is erroneous. So it might give us some idea about what's going on, but it definitely can't introduce the direct experience of awareness, nor bring it into full evidence. So, you know, it's important to be discerning, to use some elementary discernment. And how do we know? How do we know where we can really have the full evidence brought in, of this brought into the reality of living for ourselves? Well, we just look around. We see if that's what's going on for other people who are going there. It's just very simple. You know, it's very simple. But there are a lot of ideas that are put out about awakening today in many popular books that talk about an idea of awareness. So it's something that occurs within the realm of cause and effect. It's not completely perfect enlightenment. It isn't. It's a certain freedom from mental concepts, but it's definitely not enlightenment. So, you know, you have to be very careful these days and what you read and the kinds of information you take in. Because you see, if you take in some information that's erroneous and you base your whole awakening on that, you'll spend your whole life wrapped up in an erroneous idea of what freedom is, and there are a lot of them out there today. So, you know, the way that you know definitively that you're really waking up, so to speak, that this full evidence is alive in you, is ease and comfort of being, and warmth, an actual warmth that floods the whole body of compassion, wisdom, love, and bliss. So this is how you know. You know, it isn't just some kind of personal thing that's arrived at and then you can do whatever you want. And it doesn't matter what you do because it's all a spontaneous function of consciousness. This is one teaching that's somewhat popular today. Everything is a spontaneous function of consciousness. If you're supposed to wake up, you will. If you aren't supposed to, you won't. And once you do, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, no matter what you do, it's just a spontaneous functioning, like a spasm of consciousness. But you see, this is fatalism. This is an extreme. It's impartiality or neutrality, but this isn't the essence of awareness. This isn't the essence of awareness, and it never will be. So, you know, it's important to understand that there are many extreme positions about awakening that are posited, like nothingness or non-existence or the void. Fatalism, impartiality, neutrality, even bliss and clarity. Because you see, wisdom isn't something. It's not something. Even though the warmth of love, bliss, compassion, and wisdom arise, and it's so evident in our body, speech, and mind. You see, the evidence is when our body, speech, and mind are filled with these things, the warmth of love, bliss, wisdom, and compassion. The words that come out of our mouth, warmth, love, bliss, and compassion, it's like a warm breeze just flowing out everywhere throughout infinite space. And our actions and our thinking too, because you see, no longer do we have the thinking, speech, and actions of a limited point of view. Our body, speech, and mind are vast, and they resound with that vastness. So never adopt any of these extremes. They're just a party you don't want to go to. The party of awareness is free in its own place. You know, it's entirely free in its own place. It never takes itself to be anything. It doesn't need to hold on desperately to some idea of what it is in order to make it what it is. It doesn't need any points of view to support it. we just know, you know, we know in an easeful way that we are what we are. This is the direct evidence. We'll sit quietly now for a few moments.